My dad, Pastor Salem, loved spreading the saving grace of Jesus Christ through his sermons and sharing the Word of God. We are grateful to be with you today. We hope my dad's message, "Let Me Tell You Something About Heaven," reminds us the way to heaven, our eternal home, is Jesus Christ.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And do we ever have a wonderful sermon today? We're going to preach about heaven. Let me tell you something about heaven. And so why don't you call a friend or something? Maybe let them know, because maybe they'll be thinking about heaven. Everybody thinks about heaven at one time or another. Give them a ring, and we'll just have a good time. But first of all, we would need to look at some of the letters. And we thank you for your letters, and we hope that more of you will write. We read every letter we get, and we'll give the address at the close of the service. So get your pencil and paper and stay awake, and we'll give it to you at that time. But our first letter comes from the Philippines, Cababrian City, Philippines. And this man writes, "I'm so thankful for the chance to visit again here in the Internet Cafe and to visit again your website. And also I'm thankful for the strength, despite of my tiredness for my work. But there's joy in my heart and now listening to your sermon or teaching. God bless you. Shalom and pray, Pastor Burrio. And so we're just always so glad when we hear from pastors. And here's a dear brother in Philippines, and he's has to work, and he's tired, but he's taking time to write to us or email us, and we just thank God for him. Let's all just pray for this brother in the Philippines. And then we have a letter from Lamoni, Iowa. And this one writes and says, "I have been watching you and your Christian Worship Hour for years. I enjoyed very much. I've asked God to come into my heart some time ago. Wanted to tell you about it, as I never told anyone about it before." And so here's a dear friend, and I can't remember if it was a lady or a gentleman, and they have accepted Jesus, and they haven't told anybody yet, and now they're telling the whole world that they're a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to do, tell others about Jesus. And you don't have to go to seminary or something like that. You just tell him what Jesus did for you, and they can't argue you out of that. And I'll tell you what he'll do for you. He'll give you peace. I don't say you're going to hear lights and bells and all that and be ecstatic and everything. Maybe you will. I don't know. But it's really a transaction where you accept Jesus and he saves you. And then you can tell him about that. And, oh, God needs witnesses. Let's see. Here's Abaco, Bahamas. And this person writes, "I'm still enjoying your ministry and praying for you that the Lord will continue to be with you as you spread the gospel." And so that's what we're doing. We're spreading the gospel all over the world. But I'm going to tell you, we couldn't do it unless you prayed for us, unless you supported us. We need your regular support. And you need to pray and say, "Now, do I want to help this? Is this of the Lord?" And if he says, "Yes, I want you to help," then you say, "How much?" And then you'll say, "Are you sure, Lord?" And just whatever, I'm just making that up. But you can just ask the Lord if you should give. That's all right. And then if he says yes, then you help us, and we'll carry on. We'll get it all over the world because you prayed and you gave. We can't do it alone. You can't do it without us, and we can't do it without you. It's a team effort. One more letter, York, Nebraska. This is from a women's prison. And this is from a women's prison. "I've been locked up or incarcerated since November 2009, and I am a young Christian walking in the faith of our Lord. Through his grace, I know I'm saved. I just wanted to write and tell you that your gospels give me hope, and I enjoy watching and hearing you. I love to hear you preach and praise the Lord and listening to these services. I was just curious if you all have devotionals or anything that helped me further in my walk. You're in my prayers. Yeah, thank you. Yes, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I cannot do anything without him." And that's a beautiful letter, isn't it? A young Christian. And we've sent literature to her. And I always remind, we hear from so many people in prison. Well, there's a federal prison, we've heard from 14 different prisoners. And I tell every one of them, listen, you know Jesus. St. Paul was in prison. Now you witness for Jesus in prison. Take that as your mission field. Shine for Jesus. And wouldn't it be something, because you are locked up in prison, you were helped to save people from a Christless eternity and give them the joy of the Lord. So we pray for the people in prison, every one. And we pray that many will come to the Lord, and those who do will be strengthened and helped. And we'll always send literature, free and postpaid, to help everyone we can. But let's look at this. Let's look about heaven. Have you ever thought about heaven? Well, of course you have. We all are interested in heaven. As you grow older, the more and more friends depart, the more you think about heaven. I'm 96 years old, and I think about heaven all of the time. I think of my mother. I think of my dad. I think of my friend. I think of my wife. I think of, oh, so many that God has let me minister to over 73 years. And yes, I think about heaven all of the time. And it's a natural and right for us to think about heaven when we accept Jesus, because, for instance, our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we all interested in heaven because our names are written in heaven? Luke 10, verse 20. Nevertheless, Jesus said, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And then we are interested in heaven because our treasure is stored in heaven. Again, Jesus said, Matthew 6, verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where there is neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. And then again, we think about heaven because heaven's going to be our home. Jesus tells us in John 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And so we have tons of friends and loved ones, and we are interested in heaven. But there are those who are going around there, old killjoys. And they say, oh, there is no such a thing as heaven, and you can't prove it that heaven is there. And they try to rob us of heaven. The atheist comes around, and the atheist says, heaven is only an illusion. People get spiritually intoxicated, and they think there's a heaven. The scientist says there is no heaven, says heaven is just a carryover from a medieval fantasy. It is no such place. The liberal theologian wants to take heaven away from us. And they just say heaven is just a worn-out superstition, and it is out of date. The philosopher comes along. He wants to take his heaven out of our hands. And he says that their theory of heaven is nothing short of idiotic. It's not for a sound mind. And so when we come to this, we wonder, is there a heaven? And what can we know about the Bible? What can we know about heaven? I'm going to tell you, friends, when you want something about heaven, don't go to the public library. Don't go to the secular author. Don't go to people that are dying and ask them. You go to the Bible, the Holy Bible. And the Bible tells us a lot of things about heaven. And so we want to talk about that today. And I think that God told us so much about it because it is so real and it is such a great help. Let's look at first of all, and heaven is a definite place. Jesus said in John 14, 2, I go to prepare a place for you. And twice Jesus calls heaven and the Greek word topos, T-O-P-O-S. And that's a Greek word. It means a place. Heaven has a substance. It's an actual literal place. We're told that Abraham illustrates that. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. He hath prepared for them a city. Hebrews 11, verses 10 and 16. Abraham, a man who lived all of his life, lived in tents all of his life. He wants a fixed place, a strong situation. And so that's what he's looking for, heaven. And that's what heaven will be. Heaven is an actual place. It has foundations. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5, 11, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God not made with hand. eternal in the heavens. And Paul had this firm conviction that heaven is a definite locality. It is an explicit place. And so it is. Heaven is a place. And let me remind you while we're at it, hell is a place too. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And Jesus wants you in heaven and the devil wants you in hell. And where are you going to be? Where are you going to end up? I'll tell you where you're going to end up. Right where you want, what you choose. The devil doesn't choose for you. Jesus doesn't choose for you. The government doesn't choose for you. All your choice. And you say, yes, I want Jesus. I want to be in heaven with our dear Lord Jesus. And you can accept him as your personal savior and say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll serve you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. And you're saved. The moment you accept Jesus, you're saved. And so heaven is not a fantasy land. It's an actual place. And you're going to decide if you're going to be in heaven or in hell. And don't tell me, you say, well, I'm not going to take sides. I'm independent. No, you're not independent. Jesus answered that question and he said, whoever's not for me is against me. You're in or you're out. You're black or you're white. And you're with Christ or you're with the devil. And wouldn't that be something to spend eternity with the devil? God have mercy on your soul. And so it is a definite place. John describes this home not made with hands. It's a city. It's a corporate place. It's a city with walls and gates. It's a city with streets and rivers and buildings and people. A city without flaw. It's perfect. And it's just the most wonderful place that you could ever be. John describes heaven and he ties it to origin in Revelation 21 and verse 2. He says, it came down. He saw this city of God coming down from heaven from God. That's its origin. The origin of heaven is God Almighty, God alone. And then John describes it, Revelation 21 verse 2. He describes its character when he calls it a holy city. And that's why that means there's not one speck of sin. And if we have one speck of sin, one evil thought, we'll never enter heaven. So we come to Jesus and he washes away our sins, past, present, and future. They're all washed away. And he clothes us with the righteousness of Christ. And we are into heaven. We'll be in heaven. Jesus says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You'll be with Jesus forever. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, Jesus said in John 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, has everlasting life, right that second, hath everlasting life. Then Jesus went on, and shall not come into condemnation, that is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from life eternal. And that's 11 left forever and ever, death unto life. That's heaven. And it's all because of Jesus. So heaven is definitely a place. And then when we look on it, we see that heaven is a beautiful place. And now let me describe it to you. And where shall I begin? Well, let me look at the word of St. Paul. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, but that is as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Paul is telling us, my dear friends, you cannot with a human tongue describe heaven. Maybe the angels can with their tongue. I don't know, but I know that man cannot do it. And heaven with all of its beauty is far beyond description. I can't put it into words. I remember about a little boy who was born blind, and by some wonderful miracle, his operation was performed, and he received his sight. And he was in a remote, and he was in the hospital room, and it was all darkened. And little by little, they let a little more light all of the time. And finally, the day came when he could step outside. And the mother put a little blind over him and had him step outside. Then he took the blind away. And the little boy looked and he saw the beautiful blooming flowers. He saw the great green trees. He saw the beautiful clouds and the blue skies. And the little boy said, mother, why didn't you tell me it was so beautiful? And the mother burst into tears and she said, "My son, I tried to tell you, but I couldn't, you couldn't understand it and I couldn't explain it." That's what St. Paul is saying. I got a glimpse of heaven, but I can't describe its beauty. It's beyond words. Oh, I can't wait to see it. Won't that be something? And then heaven is a wonderful place. And we read in Revelation 14, verse 13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. They shall rest from their labors." What are those labors? Well, it's the struggles with sin. It's a battle we'll have all our life to fight sin. It's where we have wearying conflict. And the spiritual battle in Christ is a red-hot battle. And sometimes we get tired and weary. We're saved and we rest from all, every fault and flaw, and any habits or temper or gossip or attitudes or despondency, from every bodily weakness, from every disease and infirmity and weakness. That's all gone. What a wonderful, glorious thing. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. I guess so. St. Paul writes about it, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1, 2, and 4. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we be unclothed, but clothed upon, and that mortality might be swallowed up in life." It's a place of rest and joy. It's a place of reunion, my friends. My friends, listen to me. Every one of us have loved ones there. And the older you get, the more you have. And we're going to see them. Maybe it's your mother. Maybe it's your father. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe your baby. Maybe your child. I wouldn't have any idea. But I know there's going to be a reunion. And we're going to see them. And we're going to see that the wonderful people that we known and loved. Somebody wrote about it, how that he was thinking about the sights of heaven, and he was thinking about the streets of transparent gold. He was thinking about the sea of crystal. He was thinking of the tree of life and the gates of pearl and the foundation of precious stones. Oh, how beautiful. But then they said, like Don Baker, pastor of the Hinson Memorial Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon, this is what he writes. He says, "I've always been fascinated with heaven. When I was younger, though, I thought of heaven only as a great shining city, vast walls and magnificent domes and soaring spires, and with nobody in it but white-robed angels were total strangers to me. I just couldn't believe it." And then Baker says, "My beloved pastor died. My grandfather died. My father died. My son died. My father-in-law died," and he said, now I don't look any longer for the domes and the spires. I'm looking for the people that are gone, and I miss them, and I want to see them again, and I'm going to see them face to face." You see, heaven is like home in many ways. It's not what we have in homes, but who we have in the homes. And we're going to see them. We're going to see our loved ones and our precious ones in heaven. And we're going to add to that list, we're going to see our Heavenly Father. And we're going to see the beautiful Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see the blessed Holy Trinity. We're going to see the angels of God. We're going to see the cherubim. We're going to see the cherubim. We're going to see the saints of all ages. And oh, won't we be rejoicing to see them. And then there's another twist to it that we could say and put it this way. When we get to heaven, Richard DeHaan tells about a letter he received. And he says, the letter goes, "Last month my mother went to heaven. She was 95 and a blessing to everyone who met her." The writer then went on to tell about a 7-year-old great-grandson said about the passing of that great saint of God. Expressing his great love and admiration for her, the little boy explained, I'll bet Jesus will be glad to see Grandma. That's exactly it. Not only will we be glad to see them, but Jesus will see us and be glad to see us. And won't we be thrilled when we see Jesus and fall at his feet, and he'll pick us up and he'll hold us in his arms like he held the little lambs. But the scriptures also tell us he holds the old gray heads in his arms too. And so I'm 96, and on the lambs, I want them to have a place, but I want to be there too. And his arms are big enough to hold the whole wide world, that wonderful Savior, that wonderful God. I just can't wait to see that wonderful things. And we're going to know those people. Sometimes I get letters. Will we know our loved ones in heaven? Of course we'll be in know our loved ones in heaven. Like one little old lady said, they asked her, would she know her loved ones in heaven? And she said, well, I sure will. You think I'm going to be dumber in heaven than I am on earth? But we have other pictures in the New Testament, how Mary knew the risen Christ at the grave, at the resurrection, and how Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw Moses and Elijah, and they knew who they were. There didn't need to have to be an introduction. They recognized them immediately, and Moses and Elijah had died 900 years earlier. Yes, we're going to know them. What does Saint Paul say? Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Oh, glory be. Only God could do that. And so I can say it's a happy place. It's a place where we're going to rejoice and be happy. It's a place where there'll be no more sorrow and no more weeping. It's a place where, oh, we're going to have that wonderful, wonderful time with God and all of our loved ones forever. And there'll be no more parting. But let me close by saying, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Not everybody talking about heaven is going there. You have to be born again, Jesus said. You can't just walk into heaven. You've got to be born again. And you say, and Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews, that is, he was a scribe, he was a lawyer. He knew the Old Testament backwards and forwards. And he said to Jesus, how can I be born again? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb? He didn't get it. And when we open our heart to Jesus, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my door of my voice, I will come in. I'll dwell with him. And to be born again means you have to ask Jesus into your heart. You just have to say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. And he knows that you're a sinner. But we have to admit it. And God tells us in Revelation 21, verse 27, talks about this heaven. He says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they which written in the Lamb's book of life, is your name in the Lamb's book of life? I'll tell you how you can get it there. You get it by coming to Jesus and saying, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And in the book of Hebrews, God tells us, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. They're all gone. And so you ask Jesus, and you ask Jesus into your heart. I was 10 years old, and Jesus has been there 86 years, and he'll never leave me or forsake me. And I'm going to see him in heaven one of these bright, sunny days. You make that prayer. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And if you write to us and say, I just accepted Jesus, or maybe you drifted away and you came back, and we'll send you literature. No matter where you are in the world, we'll send you literature if you write to us. And then you can walk and talk and be happy in Jesus. And he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You just make that prayer. Use your own words, and the Lord will come into your heart, and your name will be written in that Lamb's book of life. When the books are open, there's your name, and you're going to go into heaven by the grace and glory of God. And so now we just have to tell you that we have to have your help if we're going to carry on this ministry. And, you know, we just have to put it on the line. And if we want this to continue, you're just going to have to help us. You pray for us and send a gift. And you can send a gift over the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you can send a gift that way. And you can put in your currency. Well, we had some from Norway. Put their money in Norwegian, and we got it back here in America in American currency, and we paid our bills. And so, and don't worry about sending your money if we'll use it or not, or use it rightly, because we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they audit our books on how much we get and how we spend it. And then while you're at it, writing, ask for the new song. And that's a little Bible study on Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You write. And now we're going to pray. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Bahrain. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the multitudes that are receiving you right now and many coming back. Bless each one. Bless the young people, Lord. They have so many decisions to make. Help them to lean on you. Help those, Lord, on beds of sickness and those who are shut-ins. And to our persecuted church in Bahrain, we pray, Lord, that you'll just encourage them and help them to know their encouragement to us. And it makes us stronger as we think about them. So may your blessing rest upon us all. And may Jesus Christ be pleased and may God be glorified. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So now as we go off of the air, now as we leave you, it'll be another week. And maybe this week the Lord will come. Who knows? Maybe he'll come for us. Maybe he'll come and take all of us to be with him in heaven. But you got to write to us. And those on the short wave, it's Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And all of you pray. Pray hard. And God will use his word all over the world, and there'll be multitudes coming to know Jesus. That's all we have in mind, is to help the people of God and to bring the sinners to Jesus. Somebody brought us, now we're bringing you. I was 10 years old. I made that prayer. Jesus has been in my heart all those years. I haven't always been faithful to him, and I have my sins, and I always confess them to him, and he forgives me. Because his grace is sufficient. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We want you to have that Savior. God bless you. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. I love you. And I'll see you next week, Lord willing.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.